my boat of life. Seas of trouble weeps, whenever there's a wind in my sea. But I am a friend who watches over me. I know, the master of the wind. I know Jesus. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm a storm and make the sun shine again. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights. Above the peaks my soul can be found. Hallelujah! Amen! An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. Brings me low but never brings me down. Because I get up every time I'm down. Hallelujah! I know the master of the wind. I know my blessed Redeemer. I know the maker of the rain. Jesus, calm the storm and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. Brings me low but never brings me down. I know. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm a storm and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind. I know my blessed Jesus.
Glad there's people this evening when they sing that, they know that's the truth. Amen. There's people saying, I know the master of the wind. Amen. Amen. You don't want to be given the testimony of a false witness. Amen. You don't want to be given the testimony of somebody else's experience, but you want to know yourself. Amen. I know the master of Amen. The wind. We're really glad. Let's open our Bibles. We greet you in Jesus' name, saints. It's good to be here this evening in his house. Let's come and wait upon the Lord. Let's read Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read from 27 up to 31. Blessed scriptures. I'm sure there must have been 10,000 times 10,000 through these years that have been encouraged by this scripture. No matter the circumstances, no matter the situation that people were in, a blessed answer to the word. Isaiah 40, 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. People are like that. They say, but Lord, when are you going to judge? You know, I'm the one that's right and other people are wrong. When are you going to show my righteous judgment? That's what the people were saying. They were saying, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over by my God. No, it's not the case. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did you notice in there were many different conditions people were in? Young men, youths, some were fainting, some were discouraged, some were saying, but the Lord doesn't see my situation. And there was one solution to it all. They that wait upon the Lord. Every situation comes down to that same solution. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word upon this evening. We thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you, Lord, that we can sing the songs of Zion. Father, we can sing words of life and words of truth. And Father, there's a witness inside of our own souls, inside of our own experience concerning the things that we sing, Lord, about. And as we read your word, Father, how many times each of us as believers can point to this scripture and say, surely, there were times I utterly fainted, but he increased his strength to me. There were times, Lord, we almost utterly fell, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Father, there's times, even as the song was singing, that we're down in the valley. Father, the storm drove us down. But Father, once the storm was over, Lord, and the winds blew fresh once again, we just set our wings, Lord, and Father, the winds of the Holy Ghost. And you raised us up once again, and we mounted up on wings as eagles. And Father, we saw things the way that you see things once again. Father, how we thank you for your word. Father, how through the ages the saints have tested the faithfulness of this scripture. And Father, you have always been faithful to it, Lord. And in our day, in our midst, Lord, in our own experiences and trials amongst us, you've been so faithful. So Father, we come to wait once again upon you this evening. And Father, you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So Father, we've come to do what we can do. And we know, Father, you'll be faithful to do the rest. May you bless your people this night. Brother Dave at work, I pray for him that you'd watch over him and be with him. And all of your people, Father, touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. You may be seated. If you take a title, we just want to speak about they that wait. I'm sure you want to be included in they that wait. It's not everybody that waits upon the Lord. It's not everybody that receives these benefits, but it's a certain type of a person, somebody who has the ability to wait upon the Lord. There's different ways of waiting. We know that. Now, the prophet speaks in the church age book. There's something he said which is really interesting, just came to my mind again today. When the prophet said, and I've quoted it many times, the prophet says, I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst, meaning the message of the hour. And I really learned something from there. That, you know, what is the prophet trying to say? He's saying, I wonder if the word, if we've given the word sufficient opportunity to impress us. No, to impress something is to leave an imprint. If you impress something, it's not the same as it was before. And I was just really thinking about it upon this day, thinking of different circumstances and different situations, and just thinking how faithful the Lord has been to us in this age with his word. Now, the Lord has sent us everything that we need in his word, his anointed word. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. So within this message is everything that we need. All the bride needs is in the books and tapes. But there's just one specific thing, maybe sometimes, which hinders us from receiving the fullness of what God has sent his word for. And that is that we don't continue in the word. That's that we don't wait sufficiently upon the Lord. There's something really, really about that. You know, the prophet that when he took the healing meetings in those years gone by, I remember reading this quote once before. It's from the message experiences. And the prophet, he was seeing the Lord's faithfulness. The Lord would come down in the meetings. The angel of the Lord would come and visit the people. People would come with various needs. Could be psychological needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, financial needs. And the Lord was present to heal. The Lord was present to minister to the needs of the people. But the prophet would see that he would come to the meetings. He was taking these meetings every Sunday in Phoenix. And he had come back the next week to the next Sunday, and he had find, the people weren't really getting the fullness of what the Lord intended the people to get. Because the Lord had come, he had sent his word, he had given all the resources that were needed for people to receive whatever their need was. And the prophet would see that. And so he came and experiences in the 2nd of March, and he says, 1948, he says, "Now, I want to take just a little bit of time to explain to you a few things that's very essential." So I know the saints know this quote, but I just so much thought of it again today. The prophet saying, "I want to show you a few things that's very essential." Now the prophet, having dealt with so many cases, so many different situations, having seen victory in certain situations, having seen partial victory in other ones, and having seen no victory in other ones, he was such a qualified man to speak about the essential principles that are needed to prevail and to overcome. And when he would see maybe the devil overcoming certain people rising up to a certain extent, receiving a certain victory, maybe a blind person, like he says, receiving their sight, being able to walk across the platform, and then being as blind could be a couple of days later, or see somebody maybe leave their crutches behind, and then, it never lasted. It never did the fullness of what the Lord intended it to be. The prophet came now to say, "I want to explain a few things that's very essential." He says, "And some of the things that I think hinders our services many places is because of the lack of time of staying." Now that's the prophet's English, but he's saying what we've just been reading in the scripture. He's saying, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And the prophet was saying, many things that are hindering the services is that though the Lord does wonderful things, though the Lord promises wonderful things, he says, but in these meetings there's a lack of time of staying. So there's something important about staying before the Lord. There's something important about giving time to the Lord. There's something very important about this principle, and he's speaking about it in the service. He says, I don't get to stay long enough in the place. Maybe 2 days, 3 days, or something like that. But the meeting should stay for 30 days. So the prophet was saying, if we could just hit 30 days of meetings, one after another, he says, it's going to be completely different than the way that it currently is. He says, that sounds like a long time, but I've noticed this, that every day that I stay, the next day, it's a larger crowd with new enthusiasm. And each day just builds and builds and builds. And the healing results, there's no comparison to the difference. So the prophet saw one real principle about God's dealing with the souls of people. Is that it takes time for us to appropriate faith. It takes time for us to allow the word to persuade us. The Lord to give him sufficient opportunity to get us to the place that he so much wants us to be. And the prophet would see people coming to the meetings. The angel of the Lord would come down. That anointing would be there. People would receive some benefit. But then people would go straight out from the meetings, lose the virtue which they'd received during the meetings. And they maybe come back the next Sunday to the meetings, and the prophet would have to almost start with the people once again to try to build them up to that place that the Lord wanted them to be, so they could meet the Lord in the fullness of what he had for the people. And the prophet says, "I want to explain something that's essential." He says, our problem is we're not staying. We're not waiting upon the Lord. He says, now, each day it builds and builds. Now, it's just like in our meetings. We have one Sunday, and then the devil gets a chance to snuff the minds over before I can get back again next Sunday. Because in this greatest battle ever fought, there's two forces, there's two sides of the spiritual world that we're dealing with. There's a spiritual warfare going on. And that's how you find people, they come to service many, many times, and they make decisions, and they really feel some victory. They put on a message, they listen to the prophet. They go to fellowship with some believers, like Brother George speaking about his friend. And somebody feels different after that fellowship. You've been fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. You've been fellowshipping with victory himself. You've been fellowshipping with the mighty conqueror himself. And then a person goes out of that atmosphere, goes away from that presence, goes away from that place where the Lord was starting to impart some spiritual energy, some faith into your soul, because victory comes through faith. Faith is our victory. And then a person goes out of that atmosphere, and they allow now the enemy to come to work and to take away that very atmosphere that the Lord was trying to create inside of the soul of that person. And you find that person, by the time it comes to a few days later, they're back in the ditch. They're back where they were. Maybe on Sunday there was a new hope that dawned inside of them. They were starting to think, yes, it's going to be a change in my life. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to burn the bridges. I'm going to separate from all unbelief. I really just want to go forth in the things of the kingdom of God. And then it doesn't last. And the prophet says the problem is not staying long enough. So there's a real principle about that. He says, you've got to take the thing and hit it and keep on driving it. You can't tap a nail and then walk on off and let the kids play with it around a while and then come back next week and tap the nail a little bit again. You've got to drive that nail right on home like that, anchor it down into the wood. And friends, that's the secret when the Lord is dealing with you. When you find the Lord has put his attention upon you, if he speaks something to your soul, drive it home. Let the fullness of what the Lord says to you lead you to the fullness of what he's promising you. Give that word sufficient opportunity. And that's going to need some separation. That's going to need some putting on the whole armor of God. That's going to need some getting yourself in the word, breaking through in prayer. That's going to need certain things that you need to do to continue with that word. But that is why the prophet says, this is where the mistake's coming in. He says, we put the nail in the wall, we tap it a little bit on Sunday. Now we're coming back again next Sunday. He says, by the time the children have been fiddling around with the nail, he says, that nail's never going to get clenched. He says, once you start nailing the nail, keep hammering it until it's clenched right in the wood. And friends, I'd like to say that if the Lord is dealing with you, if the Lord speaks to you, you young people, whoever it is, give the Lord sufficient opportunity to take you all the way through. And that means you've got to wait upon the Lord. Because the promises are to them that wait upon the Lord. But friends, this life is such an enemy to that. Such a busy life. So much complexity. So many things to make our minds tired. Our bodies tired. So many things to draw our strength. To take away, trying to draw us away from the resources that the Lord has given us to prevail and overcome in this day. And the prophet says, that's where I'm seeing the problem comes in. He says, that's the way it is with faith. You've got to get it anchored in the people. So the prophet would come and start nailing that nail of faith. And then the service would come to an end. And then he says, the people now, they go out. He says, people rush in here one Sunday. And after a few moments, they're restless. Am I going to get prayed for? They'll rush through the prayer line, not even knowing what they're coming about. And the next week, they'll get around some critic who will say, there's nothing to that. I know Jim Jones' wife was prayed for. Didn't help her a bit. No, the devil now, you give him an opportunity. If you wanted to receive something from the Lord, don't give the devil an opportunity. And the greatest thing that you can do is create an atmosphere inside of your own life, because the devil can't last in that atmosphere. The atmosphere of faith, the atmosphere of the word, the devil can't work in that atmosphere. So you've got to keep feeding that experience, keep feeding what the Lord is building inside of your life. Keep feeding upon the promises. Wait upon the Lord in his word. And let things keep building and building and building until you completely break through. Until you're fully convinced of the promise, like the Bible says. But there's a process for the Lord to convince us of the promises. Brother George has given the testimony there about Tara with her papers and that. All you got to do is take the promises of God. And you just wait upon the Lord in that promise. Maybe you don't feel you've got the faith today. That's okay. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's where faith comes from. Faith isn't a mystical something that comes from nowhere. Faith is the result of hearing God speak to you. Is when God makes his word real to you. And that's a process of faith. The more you wait on the Lord, the more the Lord can quicken that word to you. The more the Lord can energize that promise. The prophet says we need to appropriate faith. To appropriate means to take something personally to yourself. So that you've taken the promise and it's becoming more and more real. When you first read the promise, it's not so real to you. You say, yes, I know the Lord heals other people, but do you think the Lord can really heal me? I know the Lord's delivered other people. He's provided for other people. But is it possible God can even think about me? You just wait upon the Lord and He's going to persuade you of the promise. He give Him opportunity to convince you. And it's going to become more and more real in that atmosphere until you have appropriated, you've taken it to yourself. And you say, that's me. If He healed others, He'll also heal me. This promise was made for me. And that's how the prophet says, you've got to wait upon the Lord to appropriate that faith. And friends, that's the biggest danger of the Western world. In the Western world, we're so busy with so many other things. We're busy in the traffic. We're busy at college. We're busy at school. We get home, we're busy on social media. Our minds are clogged. Our minds are blocked up with so many things. Many times, nothing that's harmful in those things. But there's no word in those things. There's no faith in those things. There's nothing in those things that we're concentrating upon that's going to persuade us of the promise. That's going to usher us now to the place where God can fulfill what He wants to fulfill. And the prophet says, that's the problem now. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to be sufficiently impressed by the word. We need the word to be able to do something to us that will never be the same. Friends, there's sufficient power in the word to do anything. There's sufficient power in the promises to manifest any of the promises of God. It just depends on if we will allow the Lord to persuade us of those promises by waiting upon the Lord. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The prophet speaks of different people in the Bible who waited upon the Lord. He speaks of different circumstances and different situations. The first one he says about those in the upper room. They waited upon the Lord. And the message, true sign that's overlooked. He says, they were in an upper chamber, all with one accord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as an eagle. He says, don't just go there and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Now I accept by faith that I've got the Holy Ghost. And walk away. No, he says, they that wait upon the Lord, weeks, days, whatever it is, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of an eagle. They'll run and not be weary. If they wait, they'll not faint. Teach me, Lord, he says. Teach me, Lord, to wait upon the Lord. Friends, we need him to teach us to wait. When you wait, what a difference it makes. Sometimes you want to run too quickly. Sometimes you want to do this and you want to do that, you want to do the other. But the key, first of all, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And if you wait upon Him long enough, He's going to equip you. So when you go, you're going to have some victory. Because the next one He speaks about is Moses. And He says, Moses never waited long enough. Moses, when he was a young man, though he knew the promises, though he knew what the scripture said, though he knew that he'd be born a deliverer, but he didn't wait upon the Lord. Instead, he thought, no, I'm going to go. I believe God wants me to do this. And he rushed ahead, killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and then found out that he was a failure because it didn't work out the way that he thought that it was going to work out. And Moses was disappointed, and Moses fainted, and Moses was weary. Why? Because he didn't wait upon the Lord. The prophet says, an uncertain sound, Moses had maybe never heard the voice of God. He had heard people telling him about God. He had heard his mother telling him about his birth and telling him about the goodness of God towards him when he was a young man. Telling him about when he was put in the River Nile and the crocodiles didn't get him. Telling him about Pharaoh's daughter who picked him up and how he grew up in Pharaoh's palace. But that'll never be a substitute for you waiting upon the Lord. It's wonderful the testimony of your mother and your father. It's wonderful what other people say about you. But the real thing comes in when you wait upon the Lord. When you share His voice for yourself. No matter what situation in this evening, it's His voice that's going to make the difference. It's Him personally speaking to you. That's what's needed. But Moses was convinced that he was right. The prophet says, he knew by a feeling, or he knew by intellectuals. He felt that he was supposed to do that. In his intellect, he felt, God wants me to do this. And in a sense, he was right. He was right. God did have him in mind as the deliverer. But the problem is, he hadn't waited upon the Lord. The prophet says, but he tried to do it and he failed. So he said, maybe I made a mistake. He says, there might be preachers sitting out here the same way, that you thought you made a mistake when you found out your failure. He says, it's simple. You just never waited long enough. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Moses thought that maybe he had missed his calling. But one day, God spoke to him face to face. And that made the difference. Friends, and it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to get emotional. It's so easy to get intellectual. It's so easy to feel, I want to do this, I want to do that and the other. It's so easy to get up too quickly before God has really finished the job of getting you in the position, condition that he wants you to be in to go and do that job. Then the prophet says, Moses, he got up too quickly. He never waited upon the Lord. And look what the results were. But later on, when he waited upon the Lord and the Lord came down now in the burning bush, what a difference that it made. Because when God spoke to him, God showed him exactly what to do. When God spoke to him, God told him exactly what he thought about Moses. And that made all the difference for him. The prophet says, they that wait upon the Lord. He speaks about Joshua waiting upon the Lord. He says, when they came across the Jordan, he says, they brought the ark, followed the instructions of the Lord, came there to Gilgal, put the ark down, because they didn't have any instructions of what to do next. And there was Jericho with its thick walls. And here was Israel, though they had the promise that we're going to possess the land. But Joshua had walked long enough with God to know, we don't presume about these things. We don't venture without authority. We need him to go before like David in the mulberry trees. We need to wait until we hear the sound in the mulberry trees. He knew, I need to wait for fresh instructions here. How are we going to overcome the city? The prophet says he was wearied about that fight. Maybe he walked around and he looked at the walls and he looked at the conditions and the circumstances. And though he knew the promise, he didn't know how to possess that promise at that time. And the prophet says, when Israel had passed over and fear was upon Jericho, until the gates were all shut up and they camped and put the ark of the Lord exactly in its place. And then they waited upon the Lord. They needed instructions. They needed fresh battle orders before they went forth from where they were to possess the next portion of their inheritance. Our friends, that's the secret. It's waiting upon the Lord. Every failure I've ever made, it's when I didn't wait upon the Lord. I might have been sincere, you might have been sincere. I might have thought that was a good idea, but the fruits show that it wasn't. Failing to possess the fullness of the promise shows that wasn't God's way of doing it. God has a way, but we've got to wait upon the Lord. He says, then they waited upon the Lord. That's a good thing to do. They moved just as far as they could. They came as far as God had told them to go. Then they put the ark down and they camped there. And they said, that's as far as he's told us to go. Let's wait upon him for the next step. He says, you just move as far as God lets you move. And then wait upon the Lord. Just wait. You might have seen him in your life before. You might have seen him in the days of your youth. You might have seen him leading you to salvation. You might have seen him delivering you from the weaknesses in your life. And now you've got to the situation that you don't know what to do next. I'll tell you what to do next. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. That's the next thing that you need to do. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He says, and they fixed everything in preparation, and then they waited. And one day, the great mighty warrior Joshua, the general, was walking out over against the wall one day, looking around. And he looked, and standing on a little hill, there stood a mighty looking man with a sword out of his sheath, in his hands, glistening in the sunlight. Friends, that's the one that we need to wait upon. Because we're not going to get the victory until we meet the captain of the Lord's host. He needs to show us how we can possess this inheritance. He needs to show us how we can overcome the obstacles, the circumstances, whatsoever it is that is before us. And the prophet says, now when they put everything in position, they crossed the Jordan, they put the ark down, they waited there. And Joshua was waiting upon the Lord. Now while he was waiting upon the Lord, I don't think he was thinking about his business or the things of the world. He was meditating upon the things of God. He was putting himself before the Lord, saying, Lord, without you we can do nothing. Lord, we need you to go before. Lord, we need you to show us the next step. Lord, we need you to appear in your glory. We need you to shine light upon our path. Lord, we need you to show us what it is that you expect of us next. And Lord, we're not going anywhere until you show us the way. That's why he was such a mighty general, Joshua. Because he could wait upon the Lord. There were victories he had in the past. He didn't rest upon the victories of the past. He knew that every battle, every situation is different. I've spoken before. You go and read about David. David came and there came the Philistines in the valley, whatever it's called, Rephidim. David goes out against the enemy, smites the Lord. The next verse says, and the Philistines came again in the valley of Rephidim. David didn't do the same thing. It says he went and he waited on the Lord. And the Lord came down and said, this time, David, you wait. I'll go in the mulberry trees. You come behind the enemy. The circumstances looked the same. The enemy looked the same. The battlefield was the same. But the answer, the way to victory was different both times. And David had learned that he needed to wait upon the Lord. And the prophet says, that's where we make our mistake. Many times we get impatient and we run ahead of the Lord. And then we mess things up and we need to wait for God's work to catch up with us. He says we should wait upon the Lord. Have it in your heart that if God wants to use you, you're available. But he has to go before, brethren, he says. And that's the key. And that's the overcoming, friends. When you can overcome yourself. When you can overcome your ambition. Overcome your own ideas. And lay in his presence. Lay at his feet. Wait upon the Lord until you receive the go-ahead from him. Until he says, now's the time to go. Because until we do that, friends, we'll never get the full victory. You may get a little victory here and a little victory there. But if you look at the great testimonies inside of your life, it's when you waited upon the Lord. When he went before, when he made the way. When you were submitted and surrendered to him. That's when he could do things that you and I could never dream about. He could lead us in the way that he leads us. The prophet says, Joshua, being a warrior, jerked his own sword out from the sheath, started to meet him, and said, who are you? Are you for us or are you against us? Then the voice came back from the stranger. He said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. I am the Lord's captain over this host. Hey, friends, I want him to be my captain tonight. I want him to be the one who gives the orders. I want him to be the one that orders the battle. I want him to be the one who says, charge or shout or blow the trumpet. He must go before. Otherwise, the walls of Jericho just don't come down. You may have the walls of Jericho in your health that you're just wondering, but why are these walls not coming down? You can't seem to break through. The answer, my friend, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, whatever the circumstances in life, that's why we've come here tonight. What have we come here for? Not to see each other. We've come to wait upon the Lord. You're wanting an atmosphere through worship. You're wanting an atmosphere through the word so we can wait upon the Lord. So there's an atmosphere that the great captain of the Lord's host will feel at home to come down in the midst of his people. He'll come down with the king's sword the way that he did to the prophet. Point the way and show this is the way that you overcome. And think of the plan that he told to Joshua. It wasn't a battle plan. March around the city once for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times around the city. I was watching something on the internet when they were showing about how Jericho fell down, and the man said, what an unusual battle plan. March the people to death. You march around the city seven times, then you shout, blow the trumpets, and the walls came down. Friends, it's not by power and it's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. He has to go before. Otherwise, the walls don't come down. It's not our emotion. It's not our sincerity. That doesn't get us the victory. It's faith. Following him in faith. Allowing him to persuade us of the promises. Being led of him. Following him to conquer the enemy the way that he's ordained that enemy to be conquered. And it never fails when you do it. And that's the testimony of every believer. Anything good that came from your experience, anything that you can point back to and say, God was so faithful to His word in my life, is when you waited upon the Lord. Amen. When you allowed Him to go before. The voice came and said, I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. Then the mighty Joshua threw his sword to the ground, jerked off his helmet, fell on the ground with his face, hands in his face, and he worshiped the Lord. Our friends, that's what he needs. Sometimes all it needs is worship. Paul and Silas were in prison. How were they going to get out of prison? They used worship. That's all they used to get themselves out of prison. Those bonds that were on them, those shackles that were on their feet, that were in the stocks, down there in the deepest, darkest part of the dungeon, the inner prison, the Bible says, with all the crooks and the criminals and the murderers surrounding them, with those stripes on their back, with the pain they were feeling in their bodies. But at about midnight, they started to worship the Lord. They started to sing. They started to praise. Friends, that was a powerful battle plan. It's not a battle plan that you and I use sometimes, but sometimes just to worship Him. Then there came the great earthquake and shook those circumstances. And their bonds were loosed from off them. And they were set free. Friends, that's powerful how God does it. He's God who works in an unexpected way. He's the unchangeable God who works in an unexpected way. An unexpected time, an unexpected place, an unexpected way. But to the believer who's waiting upon Him, you're expecting something. You're on the lookout for something. You know He's going to do something because He's faithful to His promise. He's faithful to His word. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like an eagle. That's a promise of the Lord. If you're weak today, if you're feeling faint in your faith, you're feeling faint in the walk, you're saying, but it's taken too long. I wish the Lord would hurry up and come. No, friends, wait upon the Lord. When you wait upon the Lord, you'll renew your strength. You'll renew your courage. He'll minister divine energy into your soul once again. The prophet speaks of the pulsation of faith. Something will start to pulsate in you once again. And you'll start to feel, it is possible. I can overcome. I don't have to stay in this situation. I don't have to listen to this enemy. I don't have to listen to the circumcised Philistine, uncircumcised enemy. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? Where did David get that from? He'd been waiting upon the Lord. He had been worshiping the Lord in green pastures and still waters. He had been faithful in the post of duty, looking after his father's sheep. And when he came up that day, there was something that was leading him to be there. Because that's the way that God works. That day, Jesse just got up and said, I'm really thinking about my boys out there in the battlefield. Let me send them some extra provisions. I'll send them some figs and some dates and some cheese. And he says to his wife, put them in a basket. I'm just thinking of our boys today. And then he goes out and he whistles, David, come here. And David comes and says, what do you want, Daddy? He says, I don't know why that I'm thinking of the boys so much today. Take this basket to your brothers down there and then come back and look after the sheep. And David gets up there just at the right time. Because God knows how to time things perfectly. David was perfectly ready. The opportunity had ripened perfectly. Because God's promises have to ripen, friends. You've got to put your sickle in at the right time if you want to get the harvest. You got to wait until everything's mature. And sometimes we're too impatient. The prophet says you lose half of your harvest because you want to put the sickle in too quickly. We need to wait upon the Lord. And here came a man that had been waiting upon the Lord. Here came a man that had time-tested faith. He had tested it himself. He had proved that slingshot. He knew the faithfulness of God to guide his hand and to guide the stone to overcome whatever enemy came his way. So when he got there that day, no matter how big the Philistine was, David was ready because he'd been waiting upon the Lord. But Saul wasn't ready. Why? He was big, head and shoulders above the rest of the people, but he hadn't been waiting upon the Lord. He was trusting in his horses, trusting in his chariots, trusting in the thickness of his armor, trusting in how strong his helmet was, how long his sword was. There's no victory in the kingdom of God based on what man is and what man can do. You need to overcome yourself and wait upon the Lord. Then He shows you the way. And every battle is different. Every circumstance is different. That's why He's the master. He knows the battle plan for your circumstances. He knows the battle plan for my situation today. And all I need to do is get my mind out of the way. Get my thoughts out of the way. Get myself submitted and surrendered before Him by waiting upon the Lord. And He will show you and He will show me the next step. And that's all that we need to know. He doesn't have to show us right to the end of the journey. Only thing we need to know is what's the next step that He wants me to take. What's the next thing that He wants me to do? And we just be faithful in that and He takes care of the rest. And that's the way that He wants us to walk. In the Bible, James speaks about it, about this principle as well. He says, "Whosoever looketh into the law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed." So the man who's going to be blessed isn't the man who just glances into the promises of the Word of God. Isn't the person who just comes to church and hears somebody preaching the promise of God and then goes away and gets busy in the things of this life once again. But the Bible says we need to look into the law of liberty and continue therein. You've got to continue in that Word until that Word becomes so real to you. Until that Word becomes personal to you. Until you can see yourself in that Word. And God knows exactly what portion of the Scriptures to anoint at any time, friends. What He's anointing for you may be different than what He's anointing for me. Because He knows exactly what you need and He knows exactly what I need. And if His anointing comes upon His Word, if you listen to something, if you read something in the Bible, and there's an anointing, there's a quickening, there's something that's persuading you, there's something that when you read that or when you hear that, hope is starting to rise up inside of you, why go and listen to something else? Why leave that? Continue therein. Continue to glean in the fields of Boaz until you meet Boaz himself. Continue to stay in that place until the fullness of the purpose for you being there has been fulfilled. Because God will never lead your soul to something in the Word. God will never try to persuade you of something that He doesn't want to give you. So if you find you're reading in the Word and God's quickened something to you, that's an evident token. That's the first fruits. That's the down payment that promise is yours. But the enemy knows that as well. And he's going to try to get you all busy and try to get you all scrupled up and try to get you away from fellowshipping with that promise. But the key at those kind of times, you need to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord in those promises until you see those promises manifest, until you see those promises come to life. But it needs people to wait upon the Lord. That's why when Brother George was speaking about coming with certain saints on Friday evenings and listening to the messages and praying all night, friends, that's what it's all about. Amen. That's how we grew up as believers. We would go out in the morning, take our messages, take spare batteries for the Walkman, get out there in the woods and come back in the evening time. Not just once, but every Saturday we used to do that. And that's where the power came from to prevail. That's where the power came from to overcome. It was waiting upon the Lord. And sometimes you would go there, those mornings your mind would be all confused, you'd be all discouraged from the trials of the week. The enemy trying to speak to you. But by the time you came back, by the time you'd given the Lord opportunity to minister to you, you'd be rising upon wings as an eagle once again. And you'd come from those kind of times in a completely different condition than the way that you went into that situation. And it's the same as in prayer. The problem with us in prayer, we don't wait long enough. The prophet says we like Jacob. He says, Jacob before he had seen angels, had all these different things, but nothing had ever changed him. Nothing had ever done what God really wanted to do inside of him. But Jacob, that day when he was left by himself at the brook Peniel, nobody else with him, he started to seek the Lord. And that day it was different. The prophet says, because before, like many people, when the blessing comes down, you want to quickly jump up from prayer and go and tell people, what a blessing I had in prayer. He says, no. When the blessing comes down, stay there. Wait upon the Lord. Let Him finish the work. And that day, Jacob said, it's going to be different today. When He comes, I'm not going to let Him go this time. I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. I'm not going to let him go until he changes me. I want to have an evident token in my experience that this situation is finished now. And he stayed there until the breaking of the day. And the prophet says, oh, the blessed breaking of the day. Our friends, that's what we need many times. We need a new daybreak in our experience. We need the sun to rise up once again into the midst of the circumstances that we're in. But it needs us to wrestle with him. It needs us to wait upon him. And the angel said, let me go. And he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Ah, friends, that's a good attitude to have when the Lord is near. You say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Do something for me. Then he said, what's your name? He says, I'm Jacob. But I don't want to be Jacob anymore. I'm tired of being Jacob. Coming to church, Jacob, I go back, Jacob. Coming to the conventions as Jacob, I go back as Jacob. When's it going to change that you're no longer going to be Jacob? When you wait upon the Lord. When you let the Lord have sufficient opportunity to do the work that he always wanted you to do in your life. That sometimes the Lord comes there to finish the work. Oh, where's he gone? Where's he gone? We up quick into the business of life once again. Making some money in ways we shouldn't. Doing things that we shouldn't, like Jacob was doing. But that day it was different. And when he left that time of waiting upon the Lord, his name was no more Jacob. He was now Israel. And he walked differently all the days of his life. He was now a limping prince. He had a new name. He had a new walk. He had a new outlook on life. He didn't fear Esau anymore. He went right walking straight into the midst of his circumstances. The same circumstance that he'd been fearing the night before. Sending bribes ahead, sending camels with gifts ahead. Once he met him, friends, that makes all the difference. You don't fear man when you've been in the presence of God. How much even worse the devil? How can you fear the devil when you've been in the presence of God? You only fear the devil when you haven't been in the presence of God. But when you've been in the presence of God, who can you fear? If God before you, who can be against you? But you need the reality in your experience. You need God to tell you personally himself, I'm for you. No one can stand against you. Then you can go with boldness. You can go the way that God always wanted you to go. But you've got to stay there. That's the importance of waiting upon the Lord. The prophet speaks about applying the token. Listen to what he says in the token message. He says, oh, my brother, my sister, get under the token quickly. He's speaking about Egypt. He's speaking about when the death angel was on its way. He's speaking about God giving a provision for the people to be delivered in that day. The blood of the Lamb. God told them exactly what to do. But the people needed to wait upon the Lord and to do it. Is the heater not working? The prophet says, get under that token quickly. He says, don't take a substitute. Friends, the devil wants to give you a substitute. He'll try to give you some. When we're in Pentecost, we all spoke in tongues and we thought, that's it. We've got exactly what we need. We're going in the rapture. And then the message of the hour came our way, and within 5 minutes it destroyed the idols that we had built up in our lives. The devil wants to give you a substitute that you'll rest in, but God has the real thing. The prophet says, don't do that. Don't just imagine it. Then he gives his advice. You stay there. You stay there. I would challenge every person here, every one of the young people, try it once. Stay there. Stay there. Just once. Stay there. Seek God and stay there. And I guarantee you, if your heart is sincere, if you are hungering and thirsting for the realities of God, when you stay there, you're going to meet him. But you got to stay there. The problem is we don't stay long enough. Like the prophet said about that girl we always speak about in the insane, in the psychiatric hospital. And he went down there to pray for someone, and there was that lady, and she looked normal. And he said, what are you doing here? And then she told all about what the devil had done to her and all the things that she had done. And the prophet says, but surely you don't want to stay in a place like this. Surely you want to leave this place and go and marry and have children and be a mother to your children. She says, yes, I do, Brother Branham. But what am I supposed to do? And he said, let's kneel down and pray. And they started to pray, and Brother Branham started to pray, and then the woman started to pray. And then after a few minutes, she got up and she said, no, I think I'll be okay now, Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said, stay there. Amen. Stay there. And she got back on her knees once again, and the Branham said she started to pray, and she started to cry a little bit. And after a few minutes, she got up again and said, no, I think I'll be okay now, Brother Branham. And Brother Branham says, stay there. Amen. And he says, the third time, something different happened. Amen. This time she got a hold of something that was real. This time she was like Jacob at Peniel. There was going to be a difference this time. There came the divine reality in response to her prayer. And she started to sense that she was in the presence of something greater than she'd ever been in. And she started to wrestle with God. And the prophet says she was broken before the Lord. And then she got up that time and said, Brother Branham, something's happened, something's different. And Brother Branham says, you're going to be all right now, sister. That's the key. Stay there. If somebody just once in the experience finds their way to the mercy seat, I've always said it, it doesn't matter where you put that person. If somebody knows the way to the mercy seat, how to really meet with God, you can put them in the jungle, they'll be okay. Put them on Patmos, they'll be okay. Put them in the fiery furnace, they'll be okay. Put them in a lion's den, they'll be okay. Put them, Paul and Silas, in the prison, they'll be okay. Because they know the way to victory. They know the way to the throne of the Master. They know how to get the fresh battle orders. They've overcome themselves, and they know how to wait upon the Lord. Once somebody has that secret, that key, when God initiates you into that select group of people, when he gives you that key that opens up the door to the promises of God. Friends, how wonderful that it is. Because no matter the circumstances that you're in, you know the principle of how to get there. You know the key to the door. But you've got to wait there. You've got to stay there. You've got to wait upon the Lord. Because he has to go before. Now listen to what the prophet says about the token. You stay there until you know that the token has been applied. Now how is you going to know? It says until the mind that was in Christ is in you. That's the difference. Sometimes we go to pray, our minds are so corrupt, our minds are so vile, they're so confused. And we leave prayer the same way. It's not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to stay there until the mind that was in Christ is now in you. Until you now see things the way that he sees things. The prophet says, stay there. Until all the nonsense of the world is gone. So when you find people still loving the world and the things of the world, the simple answer is they never stayed there long enough. They were like Moses. They got up too quickly. They never let the full work be done inside of their soul. Because once you meet him, friends, you don't love this world anymore. Once you taste of the sweetness of Christ, once you've broken through and you taste of the rivers of living waters, Jesus says, these waters that I give you shall be like an artesian well bubbling up in you unto life eternal. Once you've tasted of the fountains of living water, you don't want the broken cisterns anymore. You don't want that water, doesn't satisfy your thirst because you found the real thing. But the problem is sometimes we don't stay there long enough. We don't give God enough time to do his work in our lives. And that's the overcoming. That's where the victory comes in, is being able to stay there. He says, until all the nonsense of the world is gone, until the whole heart's desire is him. Amen. Don't you love those kinds of people? You meet them everywhere you go. There's those real people that stayed there and met him. And once you meet him, your whole heart's desire is him. It doesn't matter, you might have been like Paul. Paul was a great man. He was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He was esteemed in his society. He was given a whole, don't know how many horses to watch over him when he went on the way to Damascus. He was given letters by the high priest. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was zealous above everybody else. He was a great man. He had great potential, great ambition. Until he met Christ on the Damascus road. And then he wasn't the same anymore. He didn't mind. He lost his reputation. He lost all of his riches. There he was at the end of his ministry asking Timothy to bring the cloak. 600 miles away. Bring my cloak because winter is coming. And he doesn't regret it a bit. Because he found something so much more precious than what he ever had. He says, all that was gain to me, I counted but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That I might be found in him. That I might know him in the power of his resurrection. That's the sweetest thing to him. Doesn't matter what people thought about him. Doesn't matter what his society thought about him. Doesn't matter what his old friends thought about him. That didn't matter in the life of that man anymore. Because he stayed there. And he met Christ. And he was never the same. Listen what the prophet says. Then you know something is happening. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. When you've stayed there long enough, there's going to be things taking place in your life. He's going to be real. He's going to be doing things. Stay there. Stay there long enough. In indictment, coming to a close, we'll come to a time of prayer. He speaks about the danger of crucifying the effects of the word. He says that's what this generation has done. The ministers, the denominations, they've crucified the effects of the word to the people. Friends, it's easy to do it. God will come your way. He'll start to persuade your soul. He'll start to speak to your heart. And you leave there. And you listen to reasoning. You listen to other people. You give yourself to other influences. And what are you doing? You crucify the effects of the word. That word has no effect in your life the way that it should. Let's not be guilty of crucifying the effects of the word. When he starts dealing with us, let's lay everything else aside. Let's wait upon the Lord. Let's stay there until the word can have its desired effect. He says, today, men walk ignorantly. They don't know that that's the truth. You see, people hear the truth, but they take it lightly. He says they think it's some kind of an ism. You find people being disturbed these days about the critics of the message. You need to stay there. You need to stay there until you know that this message is real. Because this message will do something for you. The prophet says, God will put you on those sacred sands and do something for you that all the devils in hell will never be able to take away from you. That's when you find people can leave the message and go back to the denominations. The problem is they never stayed there. They never stayed there long enough. They allowed the devil to crucify the effects of the word in their life. Until they never got the full witness, full benefit. Until they couldn't be true witnesses of the word. Not because they didn't hear it, they heard it. But they never allowed the word to do what God wanted it to do. Because they never stayed there. The Bible says how many came out of Egypt and perished in the wilderness. It says why? They never mixed the word with faith. It's not enough just to have the word. Stay there. Mix it with faith. Let it become revelation. Let it become real to you. There's no devil in hell can take a revelation from you. A revelation is when God personally, supernaturally has spoken to you. And a revelation changes you. There's the power of transformation in a revelation. You'll never be the same. But when somebody can persuade you away, it shows it was never a revelation. Somebody persuaded you and somebody can persuade you away. But when he persuades you, friends, that makes all the difference. We need to wait on him. The prophet says they don't dig down deep enough to get into the spirit of revelation. They don't pray enough. They don't call upon God enough. They just lightly take it. Oh, friends, don't do that. Don't just lightly take the word of God. Imagine when Moses came down that day and said, there's a death angel coming. Apply the token or die. And you lightly took it. It wasn't a very smart thing to do. All the times in the Bible, when you find that God came to visit man, to visit people, there were certain people who stayed there. Joshua and Caleb. They mixed that word with faith. They continued therein. And that brought the power of deliverance. But there were other people who never stayed there. They just lightly took it. They thought, it's not really that important. Every one of God's words is important. And especially when God comes personally to you, when God is knocking at your door, when God is coming with a personal word to your situation, leave everything else. Let everything else in life become secondary. That's the grace of God to you. Because God will never bring something to you unless you need it. You may not need it now, but you're going to need it pretty soon. Because God is trying to equip you for the battle. And if you stay there, that word becomes a part of the whole armor of God. And it comes to your defense, and it's God's preparation for what he knows that you've got to go through. Friends, we need to stay there. I'll finish with this. Christ is revealed in his own word. It says, the thing that's the matter with the message today, we know this quote, is those who obtain it in their hearts must lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened. Amen. What's he saying? Stay there. They that wait upon the Lord. Stay in his presence. When you're at home and you put on that message and you've shut the door and his presence is drawing near and he starts to speak to you, don't worry about anything else. Lock the door. Don't let anything disturb. You're having an audience with the King. And what can be more important than that? Stay there. Lay in the presence of the Son. The prophet says, you see, you can pick up the message. But then let the Son, the S-O-N, bake all the greenness out of you, making matured Christians. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be more mature in your experience? Don't you want to be more golden brown in your faith? Don't you want to be more mature in your witness, in your behavior, in the way that you face up to the crisis, in the way that you behave when everything is going wrong? The answer is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Friends, it's always the same answer, because you've got to wait upon him. The prophet is an invisible union. It says, what do we have to do now? Lay in the presence of the Son to be ripened. He says, that's exactly. The word to be ripened into your heart so that you bring forth and live what we're talking about. Amen. That makes the difference. When you stay there, you start living what you believe. Amen. Because it's starting to ripen. It's no longer just an intellect. It's in your experience now. You'll start to manifest the things that you believe. And how did the prophet say we do that? Lay in the presence of the Son. Stay there. Wait upon them. Let's finish with the scripture we started with. Let's read Isaiah 40, 27 again. This is the way the people came into the presence of God. In verse 27. And the Lord was asking them, why are you saying these kind of things? He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob? And Jacob was his son. And speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord. You can tell you haven't been staying there when you're thinking like that. God hasn't seen me. God's not answering my prayers. Does God really care about me? That's what they were saying. And the Lord came and says, why are you saying this? My way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God. You know what they were saying? It's not fair. This isn't fair in my life. Hast thou not known? He says, here's the problem. You haven't known it the way that you should know it. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. So if you faint, wait upon the Lord. He gives power to the faint. Don't complain about it. Don't go to other people and seek this, that, and the other. Wait upon the Lord. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. You might say, these days I don't have any power in my experience. Yes, that's what the Bible's speaking about. But he increases strength to them that wait upon him. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And start listening to things that they shouldn't, watching things that they shouldn't, reading things that they shouldn't. It happens. Saying things that they shouldn't, fellowshipping with people that they shouldn't. And the young men shall utterly fall. Have you ever utterly fallen in your life? You ever just came to that stage, you were just so down, you never thought you'd get up again. It happens. It happens in the Bible. But to the believer, that's not the end. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, friends, now you're running the race. You're running the way that you should run. You get your second wind. I used to have a song when I was a first believer. It was called, I Got My Second Wind. You know, when an athlete's running and they're really tired, they don't think they can go on anymore, and then they just kick into that gear called the second wind. And there comes new energy. And they break through the pain barrier. And now they can run to the end of the race. That's what you need, is the second wind. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And it's all one answer. They that wait upon the Lord. Let's wait upon the Lord, friends. Let's never let our schedule get so busy that we don't wait upon the Lord. That's when the devil moves in. That's when the devil takes advantage. But let's give him time. Let's do what we can do, and then we wait upon the Lord. And when he starts to draw near, when he starts to speak to your soul, when hope starts to rise up once again, don't get up too quickly. Stay there. And let it mature. Let it become golden brown. Let him do something to you that you'll know, I'm different now, because you'll see it reflected in your everyday walk. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing a song. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's wait upon him. Let's seek his face by the grace of God. Just while Brother George is coming, I heard from Brother Crosby just before the service, he was saying thank you so much to the saints. He had put a prayer request and even asked us to pray about that Brother Godfrey that was here in Dublin. I think the saints remember he was here in services a couple of times. His wife was in Brother Crosby's church, and he tried to sneak across the border, got caught. They were going to deport him. He was in the deportation center. Brother Crosby phoned today to say he's been released and is allowed to stay. And he said it was just a total miracle. So we really do thank the Lord. And I was telling him about Sister Lily that time when they wanted to send her to Belgium, and the Belgian people said, she's not coming, you send her back to Ireland. And Brother Pele said, the lawyer said, your God is real. Amen. Go and tell your people at church that your God is real. I was telling him, I said, God is great. He's an answering God. So let's put our petitions before the Lord this evening. Let's sing that song, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait, yes, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, still in your own good time, you'll answer my pleas. Teach me, Lord, to rely on what I shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not fail. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait, yes, to wait. Teach me, Lord. Hearts are aflame. Help me humble my pride and to call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Help me strength, Neshama time, with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Sing one more. Let's come to time of prayer. Let's sing that song. He's an answering God. He's an answering God. Just wait upon the Lord. And in His own good time, He'll answer your prayers.
Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, He's an I pray
in Jesus' name,
and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, He's an answering. The answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
The best thing, why don't you pray so that that song can be made flesh? I challenge anybody who has never had a prayer answered, seek Him tonight and say, Lord, I want to know You. I want to know the reality of You. Put your petition before the Lord and you will sing next time, I know He's an answering God. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Father, we bring ourselves before Thee, Lord, upon this evening. We do thank You for Your grace. Do thank You for Your mercy. Do thank You for Your goodness, Lord. Thank You, Father, for this opportunity that You've given us, Lord, to come in Your presence.
Go forth, Lord, Lord, and be successful, Lord. And in this way, Lord, say, I pray. Give us grace, Lord. Give us grace, Lord. Give us grace, Lord.
Father, You share with us, Lord, tonight. You guide us, Lord, to help us tonight. Okay, we're giving You great trust, Lord. Lord, we bless You.
Let's sing. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Let's sing that song. Amen.
Love you, Lord.
Imagine if you believe the original word and you lay in the presence of the Son. Imagine what it will produce. It will produce the original life. It will produce the original once again. And that makes us into the original Christians once again. The prophet says God only has one standard, and that's Pentecost. That's the original work that he did. And everything else, he's going to judge it against that. So friends, I'm so glad. Let's sing that song, The Original Life. The original word, that's what you believe. Let it fulfill its purpose.
The original seed, the original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seed is unveiled. The original life, the original sin, God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we are raised up for, praise the Lord, for the original life, the original life, the original sin,
the original sin,
the original word, it's what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man.
The Seven Seas.
The Seven Seas.
The original land. The original sea. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the scriptures say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired of our God. Who's the original line?
The original line.
The original line. What I believe, the Son of Man,
the Son of Man,
the Seven Seas is unveiled, the original, the original sin. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. Sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past.
Should you believe,
has sounded, and we have responded to our God,
who's the original
line.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The original line.
The original sea. What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man.
Oh, the Son of Man.
The Seven Seas is unveiled. The original land. The original sin. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power.
Sleeping saints
will wake and join us. For translation in this hour,
Gentile days
are over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original land.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
the original land. The original sin, the original world. What I believe, the Son of Man is revealed.
Oh, the seventh seal is unveiled.
The original line.
Oh, the original
sin.
The original line.
The original line. The original sin. The original word.
I believe
the Son of Man
is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life,
the original sin.
Let's sing one more, Herr. Let's sing that song, Holy Words, long preserved. Friends, imagine this Bible. Some of these words are thousands of years old. But they're just as fresh this evening as they were when the Lord inspired them. What makes a difference is you just get in the Spirit. You get in the Spirit of the author, and these words, no matter how old they are, they're present tense. That's the wonders of God's Word. Let's sing about His Word.
Long preserved for our walk. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. in this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ancient words,
ever true,
changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Holy words of our faith,
hand it down to the sage.
Came to us through sacrifice.
Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ.
Holy words,
long preserved for our Lord
in this world.
They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient
words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient
words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Let's bow our heads, friends. We do really appreciate the Lord. He's good.
Hallelujah.
He's mindful of us. We're not what we ought to be, but we're not what we used to be. And we just say, Lord, finish the work. Let us be golden brown. Let us lay in your presence. Lord, bake the greenness out. That's how it is. If you have a petition before you, the Lord, if you want to raise your hand. Brother Crosby said last weekend, you were speaking about the power of agreement. How when Peter was in prison, the church gathered together and agreed. And when two or three of you agree on anything, the Lord said, I'll do it. And as they agreed together, the Lord opened the prison house. So whatever you need, let's just agree together this evening. Father, we agree together that your words are true. That, Father, you are true and that you are faithful. Father, we raise our hands to you because our expectation is in you. Father, we trust not in men. Father, we all let each other down. But Father, you are good. You are faithful. You are kind. Father, you are so patient, Lord. You are so long-suffering. Father, your purposes and your plans, Father, how wonderful that they are. And Father, all we desire to do is to come unto you upon this evening to thank you, Lord, for your goodness. To thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. To thank you, Lord, that before this world began, Father, you made a way for us. Thank you that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Thank you for the blood that was shed. And that is our hope, Lord. Hallelujah. That is our expectation. We just want to hide ourselves under the token upon this night. We just want to, Lord, come into that place that you've provided for us in this day. Father, we just want to be under your bleeding word. We just want to be represented in Christ at this time. We just want, Lord, that, Father, the human side would pass away. That people would see Jesus and Jesus only. Father, may you continue to transform us in the inner man. By the power of transformation, Lord. And Father, in thy spoken word, which is the original seed, Lord. Father, let it bring forth of its own kind. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy this night. Father, we raise our hands to you and we agree one with another. Hallelujah. That, Father, you are faithful, Lord, to your word. You are faithful to your promises, Lord. Father, to them that have been faint, to them that have been weakening, Lord. Jesus. Father, to them that would utterly fall. Father, you speak unto their souls and just encourage them once again. Hallelujah. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
Father, we shall rise up on wings as an eagle. Father, you continue to lead us for your glory. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Wednesday night service, Lord. And Father, we do appreciate the word that came forth, Lord. And Father, how we just desire, Lord, Father, ever to have our first love with you, Lord. That is our desire, Lord. Father, let it never dim how the cold winds of Laodicea would blow, how iniquity would abound, how this and that would take place. But Father, ever keep us at the foot of the cross. Jesus, draw us nigh unto yourself. And lead us, Lord, ever onwards, we pray. Father, we do thank you for song worship, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your unction in the song worship. Continue to lead us and guide us, Lord, that our worship may be acceptable before you. That our worship may continue to bring a response from heaven. Father, may you continue to lead us and guide us in that realm, Lord. And Father, to heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where all things are possible, Lord. That even when people would sing, that you would heal them. That even when people would worship, that you would answer their prayers. That is your desire. Father, you lead us and guide us unto that place. Won't you watch over us this night as we go to our different places, Lord. Bring us safely home, we pray. Father, bless us in our rest upon this night and in the new day. And bring us to your house once again on Sunday, Lord, by your grace. Father, to the Sunday school, we'd pray. May you bless the Sunday school for the children. Bless the Sunday school for the older children. Bless the adult Sunday school, we'd pray. Father, speak unto us, Lord, and bless the song worship as we'd gather. Continue to lead and guide Brother George. And Father, Brother Maxwell Jr., Lord, continue to lead Brother Vlad. Father, let them just continue to be a blessing unto us, Lord. Amen. And Brother Max, when you would take the Sunday school, Lord, Father, may you overshadow him with a cloud of glory, Lord. Father, may you inspire him, Lord. Amen. Father, may your word be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, may you answer the questions even before we ask them would be our desire. And as we come to the service again on Sunday, Lord, baptism for our brother, may you bless him, Lord, for his sacred desire, Lord, for responding unto you. Father, may it be a special time. It may be a special time for us. Hallelujah. Father, now we desire to depart from this place. May we depart with your blessing. Praying for them that aren't here, Lord, the mothers that aren't here, different people that aren't here, some at work, some here and there. Father, touch your people, we'd ask and pray. Amen. Father, you speak unto your people wherever they would be. Father, just create a holy hunger and a holy thirst inside of the soul of each and every one of them, Lord, that they would hunger and thirst as David did in the Psalms for the living God, to appear before the living God. Let it be so is our desire. Thank you for your goodness this night. Bring us safely home. And Lord, we will bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless saints. May the Lord be with you. Let's close with one more prayer.
What I want.
to space, the black.